We began yesterday the Mishnah Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, and we had a machlokes between Rav Kahana on the one hand and Rav on the other. So let's just review quickly that machlokes, and it all depends upon how to read the Mishnah, because Rav Kahana reads the Mishnah as we have it, without adding or subtracting. And the Mishnah implies that there's a certain case of Zrika where you're patur because there was no Hanocha. And that case was where after he threw it, he remembered that it's Shabbos. And Rav Kahana derives the conclusion here from our Mishnah, which is almost explicit in the Mishnah, that you are a shogeg if you began the Malacha as a shogeg. But the problem is that the Mishnah itself says that you're not chayev as a shogeg unless it was tchilasam v'sofan b'shkaga. So Rav Kahana says that tchilasam v'sofan b'shkaga means that if he became a mezid at the end of the malacha. Now, how could you become a mezid at the end of a malacha when you threw something? And the answer is because you're holding on to the rope that's attached to that object and you could pull it back. And if before it hits its goal, its target, you decide, despite the fact that you know it's Shabbos at this point, that you're going to let it fly, and instead of grabbing onto the rope and holding it back and terminating the flight, you let it go, that's considered a mezid. But in a case where you're not holding on to the rope and you let it fly, then the Mishnah says you're going to be chayv achatos, despite the fact that in the middle, before it landed, you became aware of the fact that it's Shabbos. The only reason you're potter in our Mishnah is because there was no Hanocha. That's going to be the sheet of Rav Kahana. Rava disagrees, and Rava holds that even in the case of a Zrika, where you threw it, and you cannot pull it back, you're not holding on to the rope, if you reminded yourself midway, before it hit its target, before it landed, that it's Shabbos, then you would be potter. And therefore, according to Rava, we have two different variations or categories of a hafkas shogeg, meaning a ptur shogeg, listed in our Mishnah. One is the case where you became aware that it's Shabbos before the object landed. Let's say you threw it 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim before it hit the end of the 4 amos, you became aware of its Shabbos. That's a hafka of chatos because you're not chilosam v'sofam b'shkaga. Then the Mishnah goes on to have another p'tur of chatos in a case where the hanocha was invalid. Somebody grabbed it, the animal, this, and the whole case is that this. What we have to do now, according to Rav, is we have to amend the Mishnah, add some words to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is telling us, oh, and you're going to have to split the Mishnah. It's a little bit choppy here, according to Rav, but the Mishnah is going to start with the case of Zorik v'nizkar me'achar she'yotza miyodo, period. Oh, kolta acher, and that's a separate category, and in both cases, you're part of chatos for two different reasons. One is a hilchus shkaga reason, and another is a hilchus hotzah reason. Let's start backwards. Hotzah means if you didn't have hanocha, you were not responsible for the hanocha. That's a separate p'tur beyond question in hilchus hotzah. Then we have a shkaga halacha that we need chilas of a sofa b'shkaga, and if he reminds himself midway while the object is in flight that it's Shabbos, then it's sofa b'mezid in terms of his mental state. This despite the fact that he has no way of changing the reality because the object is in flight. But if the mensch, you know, he himself is aware of Shabbos, it's not sofa b'shogeg, and that's a new category of p'tur chatos in and of itself, independent. And that stands in opposition to, in contrast to Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana is going to say, I don't care if you're sofa b'shogeg, a sofa b'mezid, that doesn't undermine your status as a shogeg unless you became a mezid. And the chiddush of our Mishnah, according to Rav Kahana, is that you became a mezid because you could have pulled back the rope in that case, and you did, and you decided not to do so. That makes you into ke'ilu a maisa mezid, as if you had implemented an action that completed this malacha b'mezid. Even though, again, it happens automatically, but it's like a mezid. The Gemara, according to Rava, and this was the last thing we discussed yesterday, is trying to work out the three parts of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah starts with the case of Zorek, and then he reminds himself that it's Shabbos, and then it was grabbed by a dog, etc., etc. Then the Mishnah goes on to the case of somebody who was Chovel b'Chavero, in other words, he threw an object at a person in order to injure that person. And midway, before the object actually hits the person, he reminds himself that it's Shabbos. And then we have the third part of the Mishnah, which is the Klal, which is Kol Chayavi Chatos Enon Chayovin Ad Shetei Tchilasa V'Sofon Bishgaga. And Rava has to work out all these three paragraphs in the Mishnah. He's going to tell us that the first paragraph is going to establish a ptur of shogeg, afkas shogeg, which means a ptur chatas, in a case where he reminds himself that it's Shabbos midway during the flight of the object, before it lands. And then the Mishnah is going to go on to tell me a case where he reminds himself, and he could have pulled back the object. And that's the second case of Zorak Lasos Chabura V'Nizkar Ad Shelo Nases Chabura. And, you know, we raise the question, it seems like a Kal V'Chomer, meaning if Rava, in the first case of the Mishnah, has already established that you have to be mentally unaware of Shabbos from the beginning to the end, then it seems like, you know, it goes without saying, in a case where you became aware of it and you could have pulled it back, that for sure you're not chayav as a shogeg. That was the Mishnah. So that the Marsha goes into inyans and all sorts of ways of interpreting the Mishnah, so that if we didn't have this, we wouldn't know that, and if we need this, and it's like lozu afzu or so forth and so on. Now, by introduction to the next sugya, which is a hemshech of this sugya, how far do we go with this case of tchiloso b'shogeg v'sofo b'shogeg, meaning the requirement that he has to start with shogeg and end with shogeg? If we go with Rav Kahana, I have a clear-cut answer to that question. The sofo b'shogeg means that he has it within his power to terminate the malacha before it reaches its fruition stage. But according to Rava, who's saying no, there's a separate halacha here that you need tchilaso v'sofo b'shogeg in his mind, in his awareness level, now we get into the more nitty-gritties, the nuances, and various scenarios, and it becomes very, very unclear. So, to give you one example, which we're going to have to talk about, is what happens if he starts with an akira and he throws an object. The object flies in Rishus HaRabim 6 amos, an extra 2 amos. He would have been chayav if it would have landed 4 amos, but it went 6 amos. And now let's divide up his zrika into 3 sections, 3 parts of 2 amos each. So the first 2 amos he was b'shogeg, and the second 2 amos he was b'mezid, meaning he had a idea that it was Shabbos. Then once again he forgot it was Shabbos, and the last 2 amos were b'shgaga. So you do have tchilas on b'shgaga and sof on b'shgaga, but in the middle he's got 2 amos which were b'mezid. And theoretically, he would have been chayav even if the Malach of Zrika would have completed itself at the end of that second section of two Amos, meaning at the end of four Amos. And at that point, he had a Yediyah of Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to try to compare this to another sugya, which is coming up in the next parak. I'm just going to close the door, sorry. And that's the case of Meleches Ksiva. Now, Meleches Ksiva, he's got to write two osios. So he wrote the first os Bishgaga. He wrote the second os Bishgaga. But in the middle, he was aware of the fact that it was Shabbos. It's an interesting psychological scenario in which, you keep shifting from awareness of Shabbos to forgetting it's Shabbos, and, the Gemara doesn't seem to have any problem with that. A person can shift one way to the other. So, in between the writing of the first letter and the writing of the second letter, he had what's called the Yediyas HaShabbos. And the question is going to be, in that case, where it was Trilosa Vishkaga, Visofa Vishkaga, when he wrote the first letter, he was a Shogeg. He wrote the last letter, he was a Shogeg. The second letter, he was a Shogeg. One could argue he should be Chayav HaChatos. Or do we say, no, wedged in between the Trila and the Sof, there was the Yediyas HaShabbos. And that's going to be Machlokas Tanoim. And then we're going to take that case, and we're going to compare it to the case that I mentioned to you before, where he threw it six Amos, the beginning two Amos, and the last two Amos were Bishgaga, without a Yediyas HaShabbos, and the middle two Amos, wedged in between, were with the Yediyas HaShabbos. Are these cases comparable? Are they analogous or not? So without further ado, let's see where we got up to yesterday. And I think we're up to Itmar. Okay, so let's see if we can find Itmar. It is smack in the middle of the Amud here on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Oh, wait a minute. My mistake, we're not up to Itmar yet. I jumped the gun. We haven't learned Rav Ashi yet. Okay? And Rav Ashi is going to be the segue to the sugi that I mentioned to you before, where he has a Tchila Vishkoga and a Sofa Vishkoga, but there's a Yediyas HaShabbos in the middle. So let's see if we can find Rav Ashi. Okay then? And I have my finger on the place here. Let's see if I can describe it to you. You'll see a Tosis that says Omar Rava, which is number 5, I think, on the page. And then you'll see a Tosis Rebbe. And if you go right in the middle there, you should be able to find a line that starts with the word Shenisrafa, and the third word in the line is Rav, and then Ashi. So if you have Rav Ashi, that's where we got up to yesterday. And Rav Ashi is going to he's going to make an attempt at finding some sort of integrity in the Mishnah and interpreting it based on what's called Chisure Mechsura. And he says, V'hachi k'toni. Okay. Hazorek v'nizkar me'achas yotza miyado. So he threw the object, and he was a shkoga, unaware of Shabbos. Now he becomes aware of Shabbos. Kolta acher, o kolta kelev of nisrafa, potter. Now, as we have it so far, there hasn't been any change in the text of the Mishnah, and therefore the implication is that he's only potter because there was no hanocha. Hanocha, had there been a valid hanocha, chayav. And again, at this point, we're sort of confused because how could it be that he would be chayav in this case? Okay, there was a good hanocha, but it was not trilosan v'sofon b'shkoga. The Mishnah itself formulates that requirement, and here it's not sofon b'shkoga. He became amazed, so to speak, in midway. Oh, so now we have to add the chisurei mechsra. B'med var mamurim, the Mishnah is going to tell me, shechazar v'shochach. Why is he chayev? Because although he began with a shkoga, and then he went into amazed mode, nevertheless, he's chayav if the hanocha was a valid hanocha, because it was sofo b'shkoga. So he's got trila b'shkoga and sofo b'shkoga. because Chazar v'shachach. So at time T1, when he threw the object, he did not have an awareness of Shabbos. At time T2, while the object is in flight, he is aware of Shabbos. At time T3, when the object landed, he shuv chazav shachach, he's again a shogi, he's not aware of its Shabbos. In such a case, according to Rav Ashi, we pinpoint T1 and T3, and that's all that matters. Anything in between is irrelevant. We need a tchila and a sof. In the case of Meleches Hotzah, the tchila and sof is well documented. It's crystal clear. It's the Akira and it's the Anocha. And at both those moments, he was Bishkaga. So the Malacha kicks off with the Zriko, which is called Akira. It ends with Anocha. And in both cases, Tchila and Sof, he was in a Shkaga situation. He's Chayev Achatos, if there was Anocha. Despite the fact that in between the Tchila and the Sof, wedged in the middle, was a Yediyas HaShabbos. Avalo Chazar v'shachach, which means that he started the Malacha with a Shkaga. He ended the Malacha with a Mezid. Is then he's Potter. And here's where the Mishnah leads into the Klal. Shekol Chayove Chatos Einan Chayove Nachetei Tchiloson V'sofon B'shkaga. So in the middle here, in the Mishnah, with the Chisurei Mechzera, we have a limitation clause of Bamed Dvar Amurim. Which establishes that he'll be chayav if he has anocha, but only if it's tchilasan bishkaga v'sofan bishkaga. The fact that in the middle he had yediyas hashabbos, that per se does not undermine the status of shkaga. I'll give you an example. I don't know if this helps anybody. It helps me. But in Gittin, if a man commissions the writing of a get, and he's perfectly normal, tells the sofer to write a get, the get is written al lishma, based on the mandate of the Baal, and then he was nishtate. He became a shote. And then Nispakeach, he became a pikeach again, at the time that the shliach, let's say, delivered the get. And here we have machlokas rishonim, where the get is valid. Why? Because although the writing of the get was bipikeach, the giving of the get, which is the sof of the get, is bipikeach. In the middle, he was a shote. And some Rishonim hold that since he was a shota in the middle, that invalidates the get. He's got to be a pikech mitchilas ve'ad sofo. Other Rishonim are going to say, and don't ask me now which Rishonim hold which, because it's been ages since I learned this sugi, but other Rishonim say that if he had tchiloso bepikchus ve'sofo bepikchus, we just isolate those two moments, the critical moments of the beginning of the process of Gerushin when he writes the get, and the critical fruition of Gerushin, which is the Maisa Nesina, in those two moments, we need him to be a Pikeach. The fact that he was a Shota in the middle is irrelevant. And the get is kosher. So the first slew of Rishonim say that you need a continuous state of Pikus from the beginning of the Gerushin, which is the Ksiva Saget, Vekasa Venosan, the Torah says, until the final stage, the clincher stage of Nesina. And other Rishonim will say no. You don't need a continuous state of Pikhus. All you need is Tchiloso V'sofo. Here also, we have in Rav Ashi a comment of the Mishnah based on Chisuri Mechzera that Bamedvar Mamurim, what we need here, and that's critical, is that at time T1 and time T3, we'll call it, meaning at the Tchila and the Sof, he was a Shogeg. And that means when he threw the object and when it landed, he was a shogeg. The fact that sometime in the middle, during the course of the flight of the object, he was a mazid, is not going to undermine his status as a shogeg, and he's going to be chayav achatos. And that's what the Mishnah codifies, kol shetchiloso bishgaga v'sofo bishgaga. And if it was sof shachach, meaning from the time if he never was chozer v'shocheach, meaning from the time he remembered until the time that it landed, he was a shogeg. If from the time that he reminded himself until the time he landed, he was amazed, that's called sofon b'mezid, and then there's no chiyuv chatas. And the Mishnah now in the klal is requiring that it be sofon b'mezid. Before we get to the klal, we find out that if he was amazed in between, but chazav v'shachach, then indeed he's chayav chatas. Why? Because we have Trilosan and Sofan Bishkogan, that's all we need. That's the Shita of Rav Ashi. Now keep in mind that to some extent Rav Ashi is in agreement with Rava against Rav Kahana, because it makes no difference according to Rav Ashi whether or not he could pull back or not, which Rav Kahana says he has to become amazed mamish when he finds out it's Shabbos and he could have pulled it back with a rope in his hand, etc. That's not Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi in that sense agrees with Rava. And you don't need, you know, this requirement of, you know, in order to undermine the status of shogeg, that, you know, he's holding on to the rope. That's not a requirement. Okay. Now we go to Itmar. Itmar, shtei amos b'shogeg, shtei amos b'mezid, shtei amos b'shogeg. Now this case is a lot more sophisticated than Rav Ashi's interpretation of our Mishnah. Rav Ashi was talking about a Yedias HaShabbos that was somewhere floating in space. It wasn't connected to any particular part of his Malacha. As opposed to this Itmar that we're learning now, he was amazed gomur with regard to two Amos. Now, what I just said really could be could be questioned, and it all depends upon whether we're talking about Zrika or Havara. The Itmar doesn't give us any clue. It just says Shtei Amos, Shtei Amos, Shtei Amos. It doesn't tell you, is he throwing something? Is he carrying something? So let me argue for just one moment, and we're going to drop this in a minute, depending upon Rabba and Rava. Let's say we're talking about a case of Mavir, which means that he is actually carrying it. Well, if he's carrying it, I can really appreciate why he should be potter in this case. Because he carried it to the four amos point in a mazed situation. So the first two amos was bishkaga, and the second two amos were bemazed. Assuming he's carrying it for a moment, I would really be inclined to say in such a case he's not chayav achatos, because, you know, the clincher, which is the second set of two amos that completes the four amos, was done b'mezid. However, what I just presented to you is not going to be Rabba Shita. Rabba Omar Potur, Rabba Omar Chayav, Rabba Omar Potter. So why is Rabba going to be Potter? So again, I would have said the following. Rabba's Potter because he's carrying it. And if he's carrying it, that second Amos in the middle was bemazed. That's when he completed the Malacha. Name. The Gemara wants to square Rabba with a Shita of Rabba Gamliel. And that's the Mishnah in Perek Habone, which is also called Perek HaKosev, the second half is about Ksiva, which records a machlokes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon in a case where he wrote one letter b'shogeg, he wrote the second letter b'shogeg, but in betwixt he had a yedias haShabbos. And Rav Gamliel says in such a case, he's chayev achatos. Why is he chayev achatos? The Gemara in fancy highfalutin language calls it ein yedia lechatzi shir, which means that his yedia here is not really yedias mezit. What does he find out? He finds out that lo and behold, he had written one letter on Shabbos. That's not a yedia. Yedia means that he found out that he violated a malacha. When he finds out about the writing of one letter, he didn't find out about the malacha, and therefore that yedia is totally meaningless. It doesn't register. Now, Rabba would seem to be at loggerheads, at least at first glance, with Rav Gamliel, because Rabba is telling us that he's potter. Rav Gamliel says he's chayev. And one could ostensibly, at first glance, equate the two. If we have an analogy, we could say the following. That just like Rav Gamliel holds that ein yedia lechatzi shiur, so that a yedia between two shkogos at the beginning and at the end of the malacha is meaningless, it doesn't register on the Richter scale, and he's going to be high of a karbon. And yet, Rabba has a case where he has a yedia in between two amos and two amos, both sets of two amos were implemented bishkoga, and Rabba says he's potter from a karbon. The yedia in the middle breaks it up. So Gemara says, Rabba, I'm a potter, afilu l'Rabba Gamliel. I can square even with Rabba Gamliel. I don't even have to bother squaring with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that if he has the Yedias HaShabbos between the first Os and the second Os, he's potter from a Chatos. How much more so should he be potter from a Chatos if he had a Yedias during the second two Amos, where he's actively carrying it with the Yedias HaShabbos? But I say Rabba would like to square even with Rav Gamliel. Afilu Rav Gamliel diomar ein yedia lechatzi shiur. Hasam hu, there in the case of writing two osios, dechi kagomar shiura, bishoge kagomar. Rav Gamliel argues there's no reason to exempt him from achatos. He's certainly chayav achatos, says Rav Gamliel. Logically, why? Because let's look at the integral parts of this malacha, the active malacha of ksiva, which was done with the first os and subsequently with the second os. Both were implemented in a shkaga situation, and therefore he is chayav achatos. So again, what we're saying in Rabbi Gamliel is that not only was it tchila b'shkaga, but the gemar malacha was b'shkaga. When he wrote the second os, he again forgot about Shabbos. Therefore, Rav Gamliel says we have all the elements and the ingredients necessary to say these chayav achatos. Aval hacha debemezid lo. Here, if you pinpoint the moment that he completed the four amos of Rosh Hashanah Rabin, at that point he was amazed. And that, even according to Rav Gamliel, argues Rabba, would break up his status as a shogeg. When his yedia does not coincide, neither with the tchilas hamalacha, nor with the gemar malacha, that's where Rav Gamliel says, ein yedia lechatzi shir. It doesn't register to break up the chiyuv chatos, the shkoga. But in a case where the gemar malacha was done b'mezid, i.e. in this case where he carried it six amos, and at the end of the second amma, beginning the third amma, all the way up to the beginning of the fifth amma, and even right into the beginning of the fifth amma, he was amazed. In that case, his awareness of Shabbos would certainly indicate that within the context of the malacha, again, keep in mind, Rabbi Osei, he hasn't really completed the malacha until it lands at the end of six amos. But as far as the Maisa malacha is concerned, there's no question that Rabbi Gamliel would have to admit that the second set of two amos is an integral part of the malacha. Theoretically, it could have been a hanoch at the end of those two amos, the second set, and he would have been chayav from Melecha es Havara. Ubemai, the Gemara now clarifies what's the case of Rabba. Ibiz Zorek, if it's a case of Zorek, Shogegu, Elo Bimavir. Oh, so let's see if we can figure out this line in the Gemara. The Gemara rejects the possibility that Rabba is talking about a Zorek. Now, what seems to be in Rashi's frame of reference is that that Rabba goes back to the premise of Rav Kahana. Again, Tosis is going to have a heyday with this Rashi, but let's just understand Rashi. Rashi is going to integrate the logic, the lumdus, if you will, of Rav Kahana into Rabba, into this Gemara. That why is the Gemara hard-pressed to assume that the case of Itmar, of Rabba, is a case of Havara, where he's carrying it six amos, not a case of Zrika six amos, is because the compelling logic of Rav Kahana, in other words, we're not finished with Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana would argue that in the case of Zrika, as opposed to Mavir, it's out of his hands, literally and figuratively. He's throwing the object. He doesn't have any rope that's attached to the object. He can't pull back the object. So that when the object is in flight and it hits three amma, the third amma and the fourth amma, at that point, bingo, he's amazed. But what could he do? He couldn't do anything to retract the malacha of Zrika, to terminate it. And therefore, that's not considered a mazid. Mazid, which would undermine the status of a shogeg, the chivchatas, would have to be a mazid of some significance. Here's where we introduce mavir. Because if he's carrying the object, and he gets to amma number three and amma number four, at that point, somewhere in between the beginning of the third and the end of the fourth, he could have stopped dead in his tracks, and he would not be chai for anything, because he has not carried it for amos and rishus haramim. This is exactly equivalent to the case of the rope where he throws an object that's attached by rope and he's holding on to the rope and he can at any moment pull it back. And therefore, he is amazed if he decides not to pull it back. Same thing in the case of Mavi. So that Rabba, in his argument that even Rabbi Gamliel would agree that in this case he's parted from a chatos, because Rabbi Gamliel is talking about a case of yediyah lechatzi shir, and that yediyah in no way, no form would have been connected to the Gemara Malacha, but what about a case of Mavir, where the yediyah is very much connected to the Gemara Malacha, because the Gemara Malacha was simultaneous with his yediyah savera, he's absolutely mazed, and we fulfill the requirement of Kahana, that this is called a sofa b'mezid situation, because at the time of the Gemara Malacha, he could have terminated right there and froze everything in midair. Now, obviously, that's Tosis's issue here. Rashi is introducing, you know, Rav Kahana of the previous sugya that we learned yesterday, and he's integrating into Rabba's frame of reference. I mean, minayin lanu. I mean, why does Gemara make that assumption according to Rashi's pshat, that we should link up Rabba with Rav Kahana's Svara? After all, Rava, for one, rejected Rav Kahana. We actually pushed for the agenda that even Rav Ashi accepted Rav on this point, namely, that you can be a sofo b'mezid even if you have your powers to retract and terminate the malach. Rava Omer Chayev. Now, just like Rabba wanted to square with Rabbi Gamliel, Rabba, for his part, wants to square with the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, in the case where the idea between the first letter and the second letter, you're in fact potter from a Karban Chatas. So you see that any idea's mezid somewhere in the middle is going to break up the tziruf between the Tchil and the Sof, and you're not going to be Chayv Chatas. Well, what are we going to do with Rabba? Rabba says that if he has the idea in the middle, even though, I should say the following, even though he has the idea in the middle during the second set of two amos, and he knows it's Shabbos, Rava says he's chayav. I'm not going to break up the first two amos and the last fifth and sixth amos based on the fact that in between third amos and fourth amos he had a yediyah Shabbos. So Rava says he's chayav achatos. So what's the difference here? Why is it that the Chachamim hold that if you had a yediyah between Os Aleph and Os Beis, you're potter from achatos, and that breaks up your status as a shogeg? But in the case of Rava, where he had a yediyah during the two amas in the middle, he's chayav achatos. Afilu Rabbanan di Amri Yesh Yediyah Lachatzi Shir, even according to the Chachamim, who disagree with Rav Gamliel, and they patter him up from a Korban Chatos because he had an idea after the first Os, before he wrote the second Os. Hasam hu debiyado. Here we have a case where he could decide whether or not to write the second letter. And what that means is that he's a mazed gomur at that moment in time. Meaning that even if he was chazar v'shachach, the Rabbanan consider him amazed vis-a-vis the second Os. Why? Because everything stops dead in its tracks. It's not like the case of something that's in flight. Here, it's a case where he had one Maisa Ksiva on one Os, and another Maisa Ksiva on the second Os. Well, if in between he had a Yedias HaShabbos, then at that point he's considered amazed on the second Os. And therefore, he's potter from a chatos, according to the Chachamim. Again, Rav Gamliel will counter-argue and he say, well, wait a minute. When he wrote the second Os, he had forgotten that it was Shabbos. So why do you set him up as a mazid on the second Os? And the answer is because at this point in time, when he has a mazid that preempts a second Maisa Malacha, meaning a second Maisa Ksiva, that's a whole different story. That's a mazid gomer. That's called biyada. Avol hacha. Here in the case where he throws it. Again, we don't know that he throws it. The Gemara just finished telling us that he was actually carrying it. Okay, so I'm anticipating what's going to come around the bend. But let's say he throws it. Is ein biyada. When he finds out midway during the flight of this object that it's Shabbos, it's not in his hands. He doesn't hold on to the rope. And he cannot terminate the malacha. There's no way that you can say that he became amazing on a malacha that's already beyond his control. And therefore, lo ubemai. What's the case? Ibn Mavir, if Rav is addressing a case of carrying, which we saw already in Rabbah, hare biyado. The very moment that he becomes aware at Shabbos and he's carrying the object, he hasn't carried it for Amos yet, it's biyado. We have no choice, but by process of elimination, Ela b'zorek. Rava must be talking about a case of zorek. And in the case of zorek, it's eno biyado. He has no way of retracting. He's not holding on to a rope. And therefore, Rava wants to say that it's not a sofo b'mezit. Again, you and I would have said that why not look at that critical part of the zrika, which actually completes the malacha. And Rava says, no, the two amos of flight after the first two amos, that doesn't complete the zrika. Zrika is only complete with hanacha. The hanacha took place at the end of the six amos. At that point, he was a regular shogeg. So we have the two amos at the beginning, the two amos at the end, and we have trilos of a sofa b'shogeg. And therefore, in that case, Rava says he's chayav achatos. You'll ask Rava Kasha, but in the two amos in the middle, right, amos number 4 and 5, he was amazed. The answer is that amazed doesn't register on the Richter scale because we're talking about a Zorek situation. We're not talking about a Mavir situation. Ein Achinami, in the case of Mavir, Rava would agree to Rava. And he would certainly be potter from achatos. Why is that? Because it's biyado, and that would be equivalent to the case of the ksiva of two osios, where he had a yedias mezid before he wrote the second os, and he could have terminated his malach at that point. Therefore, he has a chalashem mezid, and he's mafkia his status as a shogeg, and therefore he's potter from achatos. And Rava would embrace Rava's position in a case of mavir, because in the case of mavir, it's biyado. And that biyado is like the Chachamim Shita in the case of Mezid when he reminds himself that it's Shabbos between the Ksiva of two Osios. But when do you have a right to focus and put all the eggs in that two Amos, numbers 3 and 4, and set them up as a mezid. That's only where it's biyado. And that's the case where the Chacham says potur, because he had a biyado, he didn't have to complete the molacha. In a case of biyado, Enochinami Rava says, like Mavir, or like the case where he has a rope in his hand in Zorek, or like the case of writing to Osios, in all those cases, Rava would say, Enochinami is potur from Shkog. When does Rava say that he's chayav for a Shkoga? That's in a case where his yediyah is totally irrelevant. It's just a theoretical idea, you know, in his mind. It's a, you know, it's a phenomenological phenomenon, but it's not a reality because it's not biyada. And in that case of zrika, Rava says that even the Rabbanu will agree that he's a pure shogeg. He's chayav achatos because that idea is not a idea which is integral to his chiyuv. In fact, he has no way to act upon that idea. It's almost as if, again, this is Balabatish, Rav is saying that according to Chachamim, when you find out about the first ksiva of the first os, and you say, oh no, oh shucks, it's Shabbos, what did I do? At that point, he should have taken the ink, again, you have a muksa shaylia, but he should have taken the ink and thrown it in the rubbish bin. He should have done whatever he had to do to guarantee himself that he wouldn't complete that malacha and write a second os. So in that sense, he's a serious mazid. And that mazid is almost like a preliminary prologue to the second os, and therefore it becomes integral to his malacha. That's called biyada. And Rav is saying almost with a kal v'chomer that in the case of Mavir Dalet Amos, where he's actually carrying it, or I should say more precisely, Mavir Shesh Amos, when he gets to the fourth Amon, he realizes it's Shabbos, he should have thrown the object in the, you know, up in the air because he doesn't want to complete the malacha. That mazid, that awareness of Shabbos is very, very serious. And it was biyado, and a serious mazid is going to break up the Trilaso and the Sofa Bishkoga, and therefore he is going to be, in this case, he's going to be potter from Achatos, because we have a situation of, just one second, I'm sorry, let me just repeat the last thing. So what are we saying over here? That since, had it been a case of Mavir, that's why I left that. Had it been a case of Mavir, then Rava would certainly say for sure he would be potter from Achatos, because he's a mazid gomor, so to speak, on the second set of two Amos in a case of Mavir, and it's biyado. He should have stopped right there, dead in his tracks, before he let it go, before he carried it another two Amos. But, says Rava, in the case of Zorek, okay, there's some sort of mental consciousness of Shabbos, awareness of Shabbos, but that doesn't in any way impact or play a role in his malach of Shabbos, because it's already a zrika, it's a done deal. Amar Rava. Now we have another statement of Rava. Now, when we read the Mishnah, and he throws an object and it lands in the mouth of a dog, he's potur, that's not a hanocha. We assume, or at least I would have assumed without Rava, for my part, that he was a great shot, you know, he put him in the starting lineup of a basketball team, he's going to definitely hit the, you know, he's trying to throw something that should land in the dog's mouth. But a dog's mouth, last time I looked, is not 4 tefachim wide. So there's no way, no how, that you can consider the mouth of a dog a rishus hayochid. Comes along Rava, and he says, Omar Rava, Zorak, v'nocha b'pi kelev, o b'pi kivshon, chayav. The obvious question, v'anan t'nan kolta acher, kolta kelev, o nisrufa potur. You know, Rava, with all due respect, but you're contradicting enough in a Mishnah. So Gemara says, "Gavaldig Achinish of Rava." Hasam in the Mishnah is lo kamachavin, but hacha kamachavin. The Mishnah is talking about a case where a man throws an object. He had no intention whatsoever that the object should land in the mouth of a dog or into the flames of a fire. The dog came by, saw, you know, something very tempting. I mean, that's how they train dogs. You know, they throw balls and this, that, and the other thing. I don't know if you know Aaron Goldberg from Katamon. You know, that's what he does for a living. You know, he trains dogs. So you throw something and the dog goes out and catches it. And he had no intention that it should land in the dog's mouth. The dog's mouth is less than 4 tefachim wide. The fire is less than 4 tefachim wide. So you didn't have hanocha on a makom chashuv of 4 tefachim. Therefore, he never had hanocha in a rishus hayochid. However, and this is the gevaldige chiddush of Rava, if kamachavim, if he had kavana that the object should land in either the mouth of a dog or the fire, then achshave. You know, we have a principle called achshave. Achshave means your subjective, what's the word I'm looking for, generating chashivus to something is halachically valid. Meaning, in objective terms, we don't have any chashivus here, but in subjective terms, we have it. In fact, you may remember that we had a mission of Hamatznia with the Shita Rabbi Shimon, that if a person puts a food that is a mashu, it's less than a grogeres, and then he carries it out, but he put it in a storage house, and he said, I need it for whatever purpose he needed it for, he's chayef otzah. Now, achshave is usually a concept that we associate with yoredeya, you know, with isav heter. You know, you have something that is eno roi l'achila, but for you it's roi l'achila. You know, you like that stuff. So if it's nevela or whatever it is, you'd be chayef. That's called achshave. And here we have Rava's achshave with regard to a makom chashuv for hanocha to be chayef for meleches otzah. Hanocha has to be in a makom chashuv. So tislachli, the mouth of a dog and a flame that's less than 4 tefachim wide is not a makom chashuv. We need 4 tefachim. No, says Rav. That's true in 99 out of 100 cases. That's an objective truth. But there is also a subjective truth in which a person wants the object to land in a certain place. And that place, although it doesn't have the dimensions of 4 tefachim that would objectify it as a makom chashuv, for him, it's considered a makom chashuv. Now, how far is Rava willing to go? I don't know. I'm a little perplexed here. I don't know the bounds here. For example, let's say you want something to land on a pole, and that pole is not 4 tefachim wide. But that's where you want it to land, and you're a great shot. So you have this small pole, and it's 2 tefachim wide, and you want to land something on top of those 2 tefachim, and guess what? You succeed. All right, so that's not really a kasha, actually, when I think about it a second time. Because chashivas of a makom means security. It is where it is, and that's where it's going to stay. If you put something on a pole that's less than 4 tefachim, it's not going to last very long. You know, you blow on it and it falls off. That's not a makom chashuv that can consider hanocha. But here, in the case of a dog, or in the case of the fire, that's where it's gonna land. Omar Abibi Bar Abaye, Afanana Mitnina. I also have this in a Mishnah in Masech de Kresos. Yesh ochel achila achas. So typical. You know, the Gemara wants to overlap many different violations and many different chiyuvim in one maisa. In Masech de Makis, it's one of the most popular in entertainments that you'll find. You know, how can you have one maisa and generate? So here he's got 5 different violations. How? He's a tame. Now, we have to understand that there's a chiyuv chatos if a tamei eats kodshim. And although the case that we're dealing with is sha'ochal chelev, but chelev is kodshim. Because when you makdish an animal, the chelev is included in part of the kodshim, it's burnt on the mizbeach, and he's a tamei, and he ate chelev of kodshim. Now, once he eats chelev, he's chayav achiv kareis reading chelev, and if he was a shogeg, he has to bring a korban chatas. Add to that, that a tamei sha'ochal kodshim is chayav kareis b'mezin, and therefore he brings a chatas. And not only that, v'hu nosar. There's a separate chiyuv kareis for eating nosar. I mean, the chiddush here of this Gemara, this Mishnah, again, we'd have to learn creases for that, is that even though it's nosar, it still retains its status as kodshim as far as the Isur Tumah is concerned. So a tamei sha'ochal nosar is going to be violating two chiyuvim with one achila. He's violating the Isur nosar and the Isur of Tumas kodshim. Plus it's chelev, he's got another Isur of chelev. And then on top of that, it's Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is a chiyuv kareis, v'nichrasa, nefesh al-losuna, right? And that generates a chiyuv chatos b'shogeg. Now on top of that, he's chayv an osham, midin me'ila, right? Because whenever you have hegdesh, and you enjoy the benefit of the hegdesh, in this case the chelev is hegdesh, then you have to bring a korban me'ila. So you're shogeg, right? So he's a shogeg. So he's got four chiyuve chatos, plus, to top it off, the icing on the cake, he's got a chiyuv asham for me'il, asham me'ilos. Now, Reb Meir is brilliant, so he wants to set up this achila in such a way that you can be chayav a fifth chatos, not four chatos plus one asham, but five chatos and one asham. Rabbi Meir Omer, afim hoysa shavus, Votzio bepiv chayav. Now I'm not sure what it means. Votzio bepiv. I don't know if let's say he carried it four amos and it was in his mouth, or maybe he put it in his mouth at some point and swallowed it. Okay, we can discuss that as a separate topic. But just to get the basics of Rabbi Meir is saying that he's chayav for this achila, an additional chatos, because of hotzah b'shabes, which again is a pella, because the mouth is not four tfachim wide. So how could Rabbi Meir say that he's chayav for meleches hotzah when he swallows something? Swallowing something is not anochah b'makom dalet. The answer is because he wanted to swallow it. And the fact that he wanted to swallow it is like Rav is exactly identical to Rav's Chiddush, that if he had Kavana that it should reach a mouth, then that mouth becomes a Mokum Choshev, and it's Mechayev Fanocha of Meleches Hotzah, despite the fact that it doesn't have four Tfachim of width. Now, why did the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Meir in that Mishnah in Krisus? Amru lo, you know what? You're right, but ain't min hashem. You know, we're trying to list chiyuvei achila. Your case happens to be that he completes meleches hotzah and Shabbos when he swallows it, but he's not chayav because of achila. So, fek the Gemara of Amai, this Rabbi Bibi Barabai's question: why should he be chayav for meleches hotzah? And the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Meir, these chayav from Meleches Hotzah. So they're not going to calculate it in the numbers. They won't jack up the numbers because it has nothing to do with achila. What's common in all these cases, the four and the one, is that he's chayav mishum achila. But how can he be chayav mishum hotzah? Ein derech hotzah b'kach. El kevin dekom achavein. Machshav to mashvi le'mokom. You see that since he wants to swallow it, he wants to put it down after he carried it from one rishus to another in his mouth. He's making his mouth into a makom chashuv. It's machshavto machshachanami here too in the case of Rava, which is his limitation of our Mishnah, that in our Mishnah if he throws something into the mouth of a dog and he intended it to be swallowed by the dog, that's where he was aiming for, is even though the dog's mouth is less than four amos, machshavto mashvele makom. Now, before we end the perek, I just want to add Rabbi Kivege. Rabbi Kivege doesn't understand this Gemara, because he says the Gemara is not making a fair analogy. The question of Rabbi Meir is not a question of makom chashuv. The question of Rabbi Meir is whether or not this is derech otzah. And that's why the Gemara asks for ein derech otzah b'kach. You know, normally when you carry something, you carry it in your hand. You don't carry it in your mouth. And here he put the food in his mouth and he carried it. That's not derech otzah. So if Rabbi Meir says, well, he wanted to do it that way because that's his machshava, okay, that may make it into a derech otzah. But we're talking about a different sugya here. We want to know whether a mouth is considered a makom chashuv. And the fact that you wanted to put it there, does that make it into a makom chashuv? So I think what we have to add here, you know, according to Rabbi Kivega's logic, is the following, that there are two halachas here in Rabbi Meir, and the Chacham seems to have accepted both. Number one, that this is considered derech otzah, and number two, it's considered a makom anocha, even though he swallowed in his mouth, which is not for tfachim. And the answer to both is machshavto mashvile. Machshavto mashvile kederech otzah, and machshavto mashvile makom. And both are determined by his machshava. Hadron Olecha Perek HaZorek. I wanted to summarize with you the Mishnah that we've been studying here at the end of Perek HaZorek with regard to Shkaga and the Zorek who had a idea somewhere in the middle, whether he's Chayv Chatos or not Chayv Chatos. According to Rav Kahana, according to Rava, according to Rav Ashi. So let's see if we can give some sort of a summary. Right, we have in the Mishnah three dinim. We have the din of Zorak v'nizkar me'achar sheyotza miyodo, and the Mishnah continues with kolta acher or kolta kelev. This is from Potter. And then we have Zorak Lasos Chabura, Menizkar Achelo Nasis Chabura. And then we have Zeaklal Kolche Kol Chayve Chatos, Ein Chayovim, Achetehet Chiloson Vesofon Shkog. So all these dinim that are formulated by the Mishnah are all establishing a Ptur. Of Tor Shogeg, of Tor Chatas. Now, the first issue is whether or not we combine Zorik v'Nizkar with Kolta Kelev. And we're going to mention Rav Kahana here. Rav Kahana says, Hakol Inyan Echad. So it means that even though he reminded himself after he threw the object, he is still chayav unless there was no hanocha. Okay then? And the explanation for Rav Kahana is that the moment he throws the object, that's already the Gemar Maisa. As far as his Maisa is concerned, he has completed his action. And the fact that he later on has the idea, namely that he knows that Shabbos reminds himself, that in no way undermines his status as a shkaga. And therefore he'll only be potter in a case where there was no valid hanukh. Then, again in Rav Kahana's frame of reference, in the case where he threw something at somebody and he injured that person, but before it reached that person he had a yedi of Shabbos, and Rav Khan interprets that as a case where it's ogdo biyodo, right? He has the rope in his hands, and he's not considered a shogeg basof. And the hesber for that is because since he has the rope in his hands, and he could retract the rope, which means biyodo lahachzir, so he's not chayev as a shogeg basof. He's really a mezid basof. And the Gemara Maisa is considered a Gemara Maisa b'mezid. Then the Mishnah gets ze'aklal, and we're talking about a case where it's ein ogdo biyodo. He just simply throws it. And I'm sorry, my mistake. According to Rav Kahana, it's ogdo biyodo, and therefore he could be mafsik. He could stop the avera at the moment that he finds out that it's Shabbos, and therefore it's considered sofo b'mezid. Now we have also another understanding of Rav Kahana, and I'll present that to you. We'll see exactly how it changes from the first understanding. We're still of the opinion that Zorak Menizkar and Kolta Acher is one inyan, and he's potter, and if it landed in the proper Hanukha, then he would be chayev, right? That's called Hanukha Karoi Chayev. And we're talking about a case of Ein biyodo lach zero. And therefore he's chayev if there was a hanukha. And again, why is he chayev? Because what doesn't register is his yediya, because it's anyway ein biyodo laotzro. Then we go on to the next case, and here it's ogdo biyodo, and the reason why he's potur is because he had a yediya and he could have pulled it back. So it's not called sofa bishgaga. Okay, so here, you know, we're not dealing with hanocha. In the first case, we're dealing with hanocha. So if the hanocha was valid, he would be chayev because it's ein biyodo liotzro. And then we have the ze'aklal. And that's similar to the case of Zorak Lasos Chabura. It's a case of Ogdo Biyodo, and that's why it's Sofo B'mezit. So basically, Rav Kahana in this second approach is pretty much the same as the first approach. In the case of Chabura, Zorak Lasos Chabura, and then the Ze'aklal at the end, there seems to be just a repetition. So that's the Gemara's objection to Rav Kahana. Now we move on to Rava. Rava is going to say that basically there's Rava in the Havamina, and then there's Rava in his Maskana. Originally, Rava holds, again, like we saw in Rav Kahana, Kol Inyan Echad, and when he was Zorek and he reminded himself, he is Potur, because there was no Hanoch, it was Kol Ta'acher, etc. If it would have been Noch Haroi, he would be Chayev, and it's only in the case of Biyodo Liotzro. And then we go on to Zorek Lasos Chabura, and we're going to assume that it's Ogdo Biyodo, and he's not a Shogig Levasov. This is Tosus Dibri Maskel Ella. Then we get to the Ze'aklal, and here Rava says, we're talking about Mavir. he's carrying it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, he's potur if he remembers that it's Shabbos in the middle of the 4 amos. And that's also similar to the case of lechto misna, meaning in the case where he threw it to injure someone and he's still holding on to the string, to the rope. So basically, Rava in his Havamina is like Rav Kahana, but he's just coming to answer the question of how is the Zarak Klal different from the case of Zarak Lasos Chabura. And the answer is because the Zarak Klal is talking about Maver Dalaramas Bishusarav. The basic premise and the lumdus is the same as Rav Kahana, namely that he could have withheld or terminated, arrested the process of the malacha before it reaches its fruition, and he knows it's Shabbos. That's called sofa b'meis. That's why he's potter from achatas. Now we get to Rava number two. Rava's maskana is that we have to separate the reisha into two cases, and they're independent one of the other. The first case is Zorak v'nizkar konam hanocha, and he's potter even if there was a valid hanocha. And the reason for that is because we need tchiloso v'sofo b'shkoga, and he reminded himself before it landed that it's Shabbos. On the other hand, the case of Kolsa Acher, Kolsa Kelev, that's a case where he's a shogeg from beginning to the end, but there was no proper hanocha. Now, Zorak Lasos Chabura is here also, it's Eino Gobiado, and he's potter because he reminds himself before the Moloch of Chabura was completed. And finally, Zer Klal is a case of Mavir Dalet Amos Shusarabim, and he's potter when he remembers that it's Shabbos. And so too, if he was Zorek and he remembered halfway, then he would be potter. And it doesn't matter whether he was Zorek Stam or Zorek and Biyodo Liotzro. And finally, we get to Rav Ashi, and he holds again, like Rav Kahana, according to this interpretation, that's not the way we went, but that Hakol Inyan Echad, and Zark V'Nizkar is a case of Chazar V'Shachach, so that even though he reminded himself, but he remembered again, I'm sorry, he forgot again, I meant to say. And therefore, he's potter, because at the beginning, when he started the malacha, and at the end, when he finished the malacha, he was unaware. And that's enough to be mechayev him for shkoga. But our case in the Mishnah, why is he potter? Is because Lo Chazar V'Shachach. He didn't have a Shichacha at the end. He only had a Yediyah, and that Yediyah HaShabbos took him all the way to the finish line. Now the case of Zorak Lasos Chabura is even if Ein Ogdo Biyado, like Rava. And again, you have to assume that he didn't have a shikha at the end. He only had a yediyah, which took him straight through to the end. Okay then, so that's a summary of the shitos. And that's where we're going to end here, Perakat Zorek. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zochet to come back to Perakat Zorek, Hadron Olecha, Perakat Zorek.